Welcome in to the weekend watch list. How's everybody doing? It is Friday, December 7th. So how about it? We are through the first week of December. We are now 18 days left before Christmas. So get your Christmas shopping done. Make sure you have that all taken care of. That's always good. I'm sure none of you have started, knowing my audience, knowing everybody in the building, but that's okay. I don't have a gift that you can give them from Snowtap. You could tell people that a great stocking stuffer is, hey, I know this podcast. It's called Tabbing the Keg. It's called The Weekend Watch List. It's called, whatever, Daily Tap, Part of Murph's Fantasy. It's all there. So, and we're going to do more shit in 2019. I'm excited. I think it's going to continue on, man. We're doing well. So make sure you're telling your friends. Make sure you're telling your coworkers. Make sure you're telling your significant others, your dog. We don't care who listens, just as long as they like us. But they don't like us, and they just are like, God, I just listen because he's annoying. Well, there are guys in the media who have made a living off that. So we'll deal with that too. All right, let's waste no more time. This is a good weekend. This is a great weekend for Wisconsin. And I think a lot of people would have the debate is, what is a more popular game? Is it the Wisconsin Marquette game, or is it the Bucks Warriors game? Our friend Mitch, you know him from Tapping the Keg podcast, Mitch Ross MKE, you can follow him on Twitter. He had the comment about, I can't believe that there are tickets available, albeit expensive, and I'm paraphrasing his tweet, of the Bucks-Warriors game, that there are tickets available for that. But if you go look for Marquette, Wisconsin, there is barely anything. It is all sold out. It is all taken up. And so let's break that down a little bit before we get started. And number one, Marquette and Wisconsin is a longtime rivalry. It is a rivalry game no matter what Badger fans say. It is a game that matters to everybody who has sort of a college basketball pulse here in the state of Wisconsin. People who care more about the NBA do sort of care about this game as well. It is a 4 o'clock is a beautiful time for this game. It is a primetime game where you can basically drink before the game, drink after, and you just have a little bit of basketball in between. It is an ideal spot for the game. So that's another factor. The third factor is both these teams are pretty good. Both these teams have the ability to be tournament teams, to be Sweet 16 teams. They're playing good basketball to start the season. That draws excitement. And for Badger fans, maybe they haven't seen the Fiserv Forum yet, and this is their first experience with the Fiserv Forum. They want to get an opportunity to see the new arena. So there is some drama, some intrigue, because usually it's about a 50-50 split in the crowd. It's always that way, especially in Milwaukee. Unfortunately, the way the Badgers do the Kohl Center tickets, they have a great job of keeping it in-house, but that's really not the case for Wisconsin or for Marquette, unfortunately. So that's all those reasons. And then I really think if you were to ask somebody who has Marquette or Wisconsin allegiance, and you're like, we're throwing you on a deserted island. You can only watch, or locking you in a room, better phrase. We're locking you in a room. You have only the opportunity to watch one thing all weekend. What are you watching? It's Marquette, Wisconsin. It's not the Bucks Warriors. Because it's just a December game. It matters, but it's not that important. Now, if it's Bucks Raptors, honestly, I think that's more important. If it's Bucks Sixers, it's a little more important because it's an Eastern Conference foe. But yes, late night for those at the Fiserv Forum, because Bucks Warriors 8:30 start. Then you have to transition into doing the Marquette floor before the 4 o'clock game. That's wild. So let's talk a little bit about Marquette, Wisconsin, now that we've sort of set the scene. I think it's going to be a great game. The road team has won 6 of the last 8. So keep that in mind if you are a gambler and you may are looking at the lines. I haven't looked yet to see where they are. But that is an interesting little nugget there. That has been driven, I think, I don't know. I really don't know why that has happened. I think with Marquette, Steve Wojciechowski's had some really good luck in at the Kohl Center. He's won there twice. I think that has something to do with it. Usually the Kohl Center wasn't a place where they'd win, but Buzz Williams and Steve Wojciechowski won there. Tom Crean did not, but that was definitely a thing. And Wisconsin has come to Milwaukee when Marquette has been down. Remember when Wisconsin was a top team, Marquette was in a very much a transition year, and Wisconsin beat them pretty good. Then the last time Wisconsin was here, it was a close game. Wisconsin definitely was a better team going into the game, and Wisconsin was able to prevail. So will that happen this time? Marquette could win back-to-back games in this rivalry, which does not happen often. This rivalry, the reason why, to me, this is a rivalry is because there is usually not a winner that wins a bunch of games in a row. It just doesn't necessarily happen as much as you think it does. I mean, this is really a great game. It's a great rivalry. If anyone says it isn't a rivalry, they're idiots. So the matchup itself, Marcus Howard versus Demetri Trice, I think is going to be an awesome matchup because Howard's been great. Trice has been great. Trice has been great from three. I know Howard will know that Trice has been a leader in the three-point shot. Joey Hauser matching up against Ethan Happ with a combination of Theo John should be a lot of fun. Sam Hauser, I think, has to get going. He's been a little quiet the last couple games. He's been struggling from three. Sam Hauser just needs to see one go into the basket, and I think once he sees one, he'll see a lot of them go in, and that's what needs to happen. Sakar Anum is playing really well right now. Sakar has had back-to-back double-digit games. He could be the kind of the difference maker in this game. I don't really know who stops Anum on the Wisconsin roster. Brad Davidson? I would take Anum every time. And we'll see what kind of reception Davidson gets inside the forum. I'm sure he will be a target for the Marquette student section. Should be a wild one. We've seen that Pfizer forum get loud. I expect it to be off the rails on Saturday afternoon. Also, $3 hams inside the beer garden for anyone wearing Marquette gear. If you are a Marquette fan listening to this, I don't know when it starts. They just put that out on Facebook yesterday. Moving on to the NBA. So the Milwaukee Bucks have just as big of a weekend as the college basketball world here in the state of Wisconsin. They play the Golden State Warriors and the Toronto Raptors. That are two of the best teams in the NBA. They win against Detroit yesterday, which is a great win. I think it was a really encouraging win for them. I'm sorry, on Wednesday. But regardless of that, it kind of gives you that Snow Tap House money presented by Potawatomi. Not really. But honestly, it's one of those things that gets, you're sort of okay. If you lose both of these games this weekend, no one's going to really be disappointed. I think some will say, well, are we sure the Bucks are a contender? I think that's a little ridiculous. Again, it's December, guys. We have to understand that it is not the end of the season. We have a long fucking way to go. We have to just see that. I do believe that the Warriors do not like playing the Bucks. I think the Bucks are a bad matchup for them. The Bucks, remember, had 86 points in the post. I know the Warriors are going to give them the best shot after they got beat at home like they did a month ago. And the Warriors will be kind of out for blood, but I really believe in the Bucks. I think they're going to have a rowdy crowd. You have the 8:30 start time on Friday night. You will have a drunk, rowdy, fired up crowd, which should be fun. And I think it'll be a really good game. I like the Bucks in that more than I do on Sunday against the Raptors. I think they can get it done and beat this Warriors team. I don't think this Warriors team is invincible by any shape of the imagination. I know they haven't lost since, or no, they did lose when Steph Curry was back. They lost to the Pistons last week, so that was his first game back. So they're beatable this year to me. They're very beatable. I think Bucks have a good matchup against them. I really do. I think that people need to understand that the Bucks are a bad matchup, and that if the Warriors, you know, are contending and the Bucks are still contending, the Warriors might need to think about how do we pick up somebody that could at least stop the Bucks a little bit. A James Johnson type, maybe, you know, who's done some really good work against Giannis. Do we pick up someone like that just so we have sort of that stopper, that quote unquote Giannis stopper? Now, I don't know if James Johnson's still that, but he's definitely had some good games against Giannis in the past from a defensive perspective. Moving to the other game of the weekend, we have Raptors-Bucks. You have Kawhi Leonard, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Kawhi should be playing. Giannis should be playing. So this will be a better game than the Monday affair about a month ago, where the Bucks were successful. They beat the Raptors. They sort of established themselves at the top of the East. Since then, the Raptors have just beat everybody. They're 21-5. I'm sure they have a game or two prior to the Bucks this weekend. But yes, this is a good opportunity again to kind of get a barometer of where you're at right now in the league. The Raptors disposed of the Sixers. They beat them, you know, it pulled away. It was 113-102, beating them by 9 points. And so, you know, can the Bucks make it close? They've done okay in Toronto. It's seemingly since that playoff series, they've sort of cured a little bit of the demons. They're not as skittish when they go to Toronto. Hopefully the hangover bug doesn't bite them with having a Saturday night alone in Toronto. That's a little dangerous. But yes, I do think the Bucks can beat the Raptors. I think they need to have Chris Middleton rolling. I think you're going to see Kawhi Leonard more on Chris Middleton and put Pascal Siakam. No, that doesn't sound right. But anyways, they're going to put Pascal on Giannis. That's definitely the matchup. And we'll see if Giannis is able to do the damn thing. And Thon Maker always seems to show out against the Raptors. Just a little reminder if you're playing DK on Sunday night. Yeah, Thon Maker always seems to have big games against the Raptors. He is a Raptors killer, which is, so he's like basically like a Jurassic Park. He's Jeff Goldblum, if you will. All right, moving to football. The NFL, it's a pretty good week from an NFL perspective. I always like when there's divisional opponents on in the primetime spots. I think that's always a good thing, always nice to sort of have, because you want to watch those games. You are more familiar with those teams, obviously. But obviously, we're starting with the Packers, Falcons. I'll be there, be up at Lambeau. If you see me around again, I will buy you a beer, take a picture. I always say that. No one ever really follows up on me on that, which I don't know if that says something about our listenership or if it says something about I just must not be that noticeable of a guy yet. I'm not at that level. So, but anyways, we have a Packer-Falcons game. I really like the Packers in this game. I think the Packers are A, not distracted. B, the Falcons are pretty bad, and I think the Falcons have quit. C, I know the weather wasn't a factor for the Cardinals, but it appears to me that the Cardinals, Steve Wilks and Byron Leftwich and the Cardinals, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, saw that game as a Super Bowl for the Cardinals. I do not think the Falcons have the same sort of idea. I think the Falcons are just wanting the season to end. It's been nothing but bad. They've made the playoffs the last 3 years. They will not be making the playoffs this year. So I think that they're going to sort of lay down. I'm not saying that you should take that into consideration, but I just don't see the Falcons getting up for this game. I don't know what their sort of point is to get up for this game. I'm trying to understand what really could be their motivation for this game, and I can't really find it. Julio Jones has had some massive games against the Packers in the past. He's done some major work. Now, granted, he's not facing Ladarius Gunter. It is Jair Alexander. It is Josh Jackson. No Kevin King. He's on IR now. I'm interested to see if they put Natrell Jamerson back to return kicks and punts. He did that at Wisconsin. He got signed off waivers this week, so we'll see if Jamerson gets any action. I do like Natrell Jamerson. I think he's a sneaky good player. I know that we say all the time, well, Wisconsin isn't a Green Bay feeder system. You do get a better look at those guys, obviously, being a Badger fan and watching the Badgers football team. So Jamerson is definitely a guy I think could contribute. We'll see what he does this week. But yeah, I think the Packers are going to just kind of have fun. I think they're going to net play more loose than we've seen them really probably all year. I know that sounds crazy, but remember, Aaron Rodgers has been hurt since week one. He went down, and I think that tightened everybody up. Maybe that Vikings game. Remember how good they looked in week two? Like, I know that is sort of, you forget about it, but they played really well against the Vikings. They really did. That first game of the second game of the season, they looked pretty crisp. And you would just wonder if they would have won that game. And they're 2-0. What does change? How does that change? Are they really 4-7? Would they really be 2-0, or would they really be, you know, 5-6 at this time? I don't know. That tie, I think, sort of shaped the season in a lot of ways. And I think you can pinpoint that as the sort of start of the crack. And then it just sort of kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But yes, I love the Packers in this game. I think they're about a 5-5 point favorite. You couldn't make the line high. I think the Packers win by, you know, anywhere from 10 to 12 points. I really do like the Packers in this game. Moving on to other NFL matchups. So you have the Rams and Bears. Very fascinated by this matchup. Rams, obviously, with one loss, they are the king of the NFC right now. The Bears could score a major win. Mitch Trubisky will be back there. It'll be bear weather. I don't understand why the Rams are favored by as much as they are, given the weather conditions. Maybe I look at weather more than other people, and maybe I care about it more. But you have a Rams team that is full of guys like Jared Goff. When's the last time Jared Goff played in a very cold weather game like this? This will be brutal for a guy like Jared Goff. I love the Bears in this game. I think the Bears are going to win this game. I think they've shown up on primetime. I think they've shown that the spotlight isn't really too big for them. They did really well at home against the Vikings a couple weeks ago. I think they are not afraid of the big moment. And they have a run defense that can shut down Todd Gurley. And I think when you have a run defense that can shut down Todd Gurley, you can be all right. And the cold air can kind of slow down the high vertical passing game of the Rams. So I really think the Bears have a lot of advantages going for them, and I like them to win in this game. I think they are one of my favorite sort of picks of the week is the Bears underdog with the money line attached to that. I think that's a great play if you're looking for something that's going to make you a little cash. I love that. I love the Bears. I think they're in a good spot in this game. Vikings Seahawks. So again, the Vikings are in sort of prime time. This is now, what, the fourth straight week that the Vikings are on either national TV or prime time. They get the Monday night game against the Seahawks. Sorry about that. Good Monday night game. It's between two teams who are fighting for a playoff spot. Obviously, the Seahawks win that game. They are in the catbird seat. They will have nothing to worry about. Kind of should be able to put their feet up, relax, get it sort of in that mode. But and what Kirk Cousins is going to come to play? I mean, Kirk Cousins has looked average at best the entire year, and he really has not looked like a guy who's worth 3 years, 80 some million dollars all guaranteed. That does not look like the player we've seen, and the Seahawks could exploit that. Their defense, not the Legion of Boom, but their defense is pretty good. And I do worry about the Seahawks in this game from a running perspective. I'm not sure how the best running attack is going to do against the best one of the better defenses against the run. I don't know how that'll work. They're going to have to use Russell Wilson more. And then that pass rush versus the Seahawks poor offensive line also raises another question for me. I think I like the Vikings, unfortunately, with whatever points that is offered. I haven't looked at a line recently, but I do like the Vikings in that just because I think there are too many variables. I worry about Kirk Cousins, especially on the road, but I think the Vikings defense will hold strong. I'm probably like the under more than I like the spread in this because I just think that this is going to be a low scoring affair. I think both defenses will play really hard, and it might just take a game break from a player like Tyler Lockett, Adam Thielen, to really sort of unlock this game for whatever team. if the Vikings do lose, I will say, I'm not talking about playoffs with the Packers, but I will say it gets a little interesting. That's all I'll say. That's all I'll say. It gets a little interesting if the Vikings do lose. All right, back to college football. The only college football, back to college football, arriving at college football, the only college football game on the slate, Army-Navy. It's a game that is on my bucket list to go. I don't have really any military ties. I didn't have much family in the military. Still, I would love to go to Army-Navy. I definitely am a fair weather Armed Forces fan. I need to pick a side. I need to pick whether I'm an Army guy, whether I'm a Navy guy, and stick to it. I've looked at like shirts at, I always look at like Amazon, like cheap college shirts. I have a little bit of a collection of college shirts. I have NC State, East Carolina, and I want to start collecting more just to sort of have and that sort of be my wear around shirts. I think the Solid Verbal suggested doing that, and I love that idea. So I have to pick a side between Army and Navy, and I don't really know. I kind of like Army, but I've liked Navy in the past. But Army is, I'm definitely changing maybe, and I don't know. I think that's sacrilegious. I really do, but I love Jeff Munkin. Jeff Munkin's the coach at Army, and if you read the article in The Athletic, I'm a subscriber, MBD, but KBD, about how basically he let coaches go home on Friday to watch their sons play high school football and then fly back for the game on Saturday, and said that was part of the family mentality and how much of a good guy he is. It's hard for me to really hate against Army with that sort of stuff. You hear that stuff. I know Navy does some really great things as well. Ken Niumatalolo is a great coach and has done some great things as well. I do love Army in this game. Navy has had a really rough year. This has not been the year for Navy. Army, which hasn't won many Army-Navy matchups, I think they're going to kind of see red in this game and blow out the midshipmen. So I do like Army in this game. It's on CBS for those who do not know, who want to mix this in. It is going on kind of during Marquette, Wisconsin, so proceed with caution. Probably will not get that on at a bar. A little late night watch. We used to call these the Snow Tap Bar Watch. Nevada, Arizona State. This game follows the Bucks Warriors. It's on at 11 o'clock. It's at the Staples Center. Nevada is number 6 in the nation. Arizona State's number 20. Arizona State has yet to lose this year. I do not know if Arizona State has played anybody worth of significance. I don't think so. I haven't really heard much of Arizona State's name in the college basketball realm. The reason why this is on the weekend watch list, it's the only ranked matchup between two ranked opponents, but you also have Nevada. If you have not watched Nevada this year, Nevada is so much fun. Nevada with the Martin twins, with Jordan Carlisle, they are just an absolute blast to watch. So their best win is against Mississippi State. They beat Mississippi State by 16 points, but other than that, they haven't really played much. You do have, they were postponed against San Francisco because of the wildfire. San Francisco's a pretty good WCC team this year who beat Cal, but there's nothing there. Legends Dort is their major guy. But yeah, the Sun Devils are off to a fast start. We'll see if that is a mirage. Wolfpack are favored by 7.5. The other question is, do you bet the under in the neutral court? Usual neutral court unders are a thing. So do you have that with the under over under at 158 today? It's interesting. Let's just put it that way. All right, wrapping it up with the last two on the watch list. Been a long watch list. Another good college basketball game to keep in the hopper. Michigan State at Florida launches CBS's college basketball coverage. That's an 11 a.m. start. 11 a.m. is always sort of tough for teams, but you have Michigan State, who's played a gauntlet of teams. They now, after playing Iowa and playing another Big Ten, Rutgers, they then now go to Florida for a Saturday afternoon game. Florida just played West Virginia in New York on Wednesday night. So we'll see which teams. So I think there will be a little bit of a fatigue factor. definitely think the Spartans are on upset alert. Tough place to play. Florida always seems to play well at home. Wrapping it up, Eagles-Cowboys. Great rivalry game. I'm not a huge fan of all the NFC East on major networks, but the Eagles, in a way, kind of have a Packer run the table vibe to them. Not saying they will do it, but they have to sort of do it to win. One of their linebackers basically said the Cowboys are chokers. Not an ideal statement. I don't think I'd make that statement. Cowboys are playing so well. Lincoln Vander Esch and Jalen Smith are great linebackers and are maybe two of the best in the NFL right now. They can slow down that Eagles attack. Look, and it probably get Zach Ertz off his game. That's what they need to do. We'll see if Alshon Jeffrey cannot be a ghost for yet again another week. So good matchup there. Always a fun rivalry game between those two teams. All right, enjoy the weekend. If you're going to Marquette, Wisconsin, be civil. If you're a Badger fan, if you're a Golden Eagle fan, just talk a little shit. Don't start any fights. We don't need to see y'all on Barstool. Just settle yourselves down. And if you're going to the Packer game and you see me, I'll be happy to sponsor a beer. And it may freeze because it's going to be damn cold. All right, take care of yourselves. Have a great weekend, Tappers. We'll talk Monday for the Daily Tap. All right, see you now. Bye.